Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Let's talk some college basketball. Our guy Drew Maddox. Drew, what's up? How are you, man?
Hey, Brent. I hope you guys are having a great day.
We are. Let's start with Belmont. They lose to Murray State. They didn't have one of their key players, and Ja Morant went off for 36. Belmont with a 45 net ranking. Should they get an at-large bid, Drew Maddox?
Yeah. My heart wants to say yes. My head says that it will not happen, unfortunately. You know, when you're looking, and today I was really splitting hairs amongst all the resumes of all these teams that are kind of in this bucket now. I mean, Brent, they are right on the edge. I mean, when you're really starting to look at what they did in terms of doing all that they could do with quality wins, with who they played, unfortunately, here's the situation for them. The Ohio Valley Conference is the 20th ranked conference in all of college basketball, and that tells me that it is a one-bid league. And so the league champion in Murray State, unfortunately, in Belmont's case, is going to get the bid.
And I don't guess there's any way to change that, Drew, because every year there's a couple of teams here or there that everybody brings up, and it always, you know, why should the ninth team in the ACC get in over these guys? And the ninth team in the ACC always gets in over those guys.
Yeah, you know, I think, Mickey, you know, years ago, I would say over a decade ago, you guys will remember, there was a big swing towards the direction of the mid-major guys, and now it's definitely swung back. And I like to liken it to kind of college football's the Power Five influence. I just think in terms of brandability, in terms of really making sure that those teams get elevated, I think it's had an influence. And if you look at the system that they're deploying this year with all this, and you're going to start hearing all of this talk, so our fans are going to start hearing this quad one, quad two wins, losses, what that means, it's just not the same for Belmont because they don't have the chance, say, of an Indiana or a Florida to play against ranked teams that are 1 through 30 or at neutral sites against top 50 or on the road against top 75. And these types of teams are getting it every single night within their conference schedule. So it's not their fault. They went out and played UCLA. They went out and played the best schedule they could play. Just unfortunately, the OVC this particular year outside of the top four teams was really, really bad.
SEC tournament coming up this week, Wednesday night with standing, and I hate it for your Vanderbilt Commodores, but what do you think about this tournament, who do you think has the best chance?
Yeah, I'm really excited about this tournament because I think, you know, there's several teams, and the SEC regular season has pointed to this, Brent, that could win this tournament, and I don't think it's just a foregone conclusion as it's been in the past that Kentucky is going to be the team. I look forward to if they do exactly what they should do, Tennessee and Kentucky playing in that first matchup on Saturday. And then, you know, on the top side, what is this LSU team going to do? I know they responded quickly in the moment on Saturday night and played really well with six scholarship players, but I think it's wide open. When you look at that top half of the bracket, I really do believe it's wide open. I think LSU is the favorite to win and advance their way in to play the winner of Kentucky and Tennessee, but I do believe it could be Mississippi State, it could be Florida, it could be Ole Miss. I really do believe there's a variety of teams that could punch their way into Saturday and Sunday.
Drew, to me, if somebody tweeted this, it wasn't even at me, nobody in general, but if you kind of look at Dawn's War, Dawn, Eagle, Auburn Tigers, they got a real opportunity here to go a long ways in the tournament, especially if things get kind of, you know, cattywampus with LSU. Auburn's got a chance to make a run. They're hitting threes.
They do. Depending on what team you get, which Auburn team.
Well, that's exactly right. And it depends on if Brown and Harper are going to make three-point shots. I mean, they're going to take 30-plus three-pointers. Mickey, the other day we saw them play Tennessee. They made 13 for 34 in their own building against Tennessee. But those two guys are going to really drive what's going to happen with that team. And I'm with you. I think it's a bipolar team. I don't think we really know what to expect, especially as it relates to them playing away from their home gym. The other day we saw against Tennessee only 5 turnovers, so great ball security, but ball security has been a problem for them away from Auburn. So it sets up, you know, they're going to play the winner of Missouri, Georgia. I like that matchup. Then they're going to play in the quarterfinal game a South Carolina team that's going to be gritty and tough, and I think Frank Martin has had really overachieved this year. If they win that game, I really do believe that they could give LSU or Florida fits in that semifinal matchup.
Yeah, I don't think LSU comes out of the top part of that bracket. I think it's going to be either Auburn or South Carolina. And the thing about Auburn with the threes, not only are they dangerous because they hit a lot of them, but they also can kind of lead you down that path to taking a lot of threes. Like Tennessee shot 28 threes against Auburn, and Rick Barnes said after the game, I can't explain the 28 three-point tries. It wasn't in the game plan. We settled for those and shouldn't do that. So I think that's the other part of that style.
That's such a great point. I mean, you should be a college basketball analyst, Brent. I mean, that's fantastic analysis there. So totally agree with that. I mean, once you get into a vertical style like that, where the possession is going to be very low into the shot clock, and you start to play a game where it's perimeter oriented like that, it becomes contagious on the other team. And we certainly saw that with Tennessee. And I think the only other thing too in that game, Grant Williams shot 10 free throws. The rest of Tennessee's team only shot 6 free throws. So back to your point, Brent, a perimeter-driven game by Tennessee, 28 three-point shots and only 6 free throws from the rest of the team outside of Grant Williams.
Drew, let's talk a little bit just about LSU and from an inside kind of, you know, coach's perspective, how all of this affects a team. When you're talking big-time tournament play, neutral floor, you know, must-win games, the effect that it could have.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting, Dawn, because obviously in college basketball, we've never seen anything like this. A team that wins a major conference championship without their coach on the sideline, yeah, like what happened Saturday. So I think it was they received that quick pop, that euphoric high of playing in their own gymnasium, really riding the high of what was going on, kind of an us versus the world mentality. But now that you settle into that and you get away from that, and they were obviously playing a Vanderbilt team that has struggled with confidence and from a mentality standpoint, how will they play when they make their way to Nashville? They're going to play Florida or Arkansas, and that's going to be a tough game. Now, the other interesting thing in this is, you know, are the two players going to play that sat out on Saturday night? I mean, they clearly need Naz Reid, and they need those players because they only play with 6 scholarship players. You're not going to win 3 games in 3 days on 6 scholarship players. So they got to have those guys ready to play. And I don't think we really know, Dawn, because we've never seen something like this happen. This is unprecedented in college basketball.
I mean, and who knows? There might be more stuff comes out. I mean, the FBI's got it. It just, you know, depends on when and how they want to release it. What about Duke, 3-3 in their last 6, looking for a 1 seed?
Oof. Yeah, and as I told you guys, you know, they're not going to win the ACC tournament. This is a team I saw play live last week that really struggled. They were 3-3, you said, in those 6 games, and one of those wins was by 1 point on a ball that crept off the rim in their own gymnasium last Tuesday night when I was there. So as I told you guys, I think this is a team that is very average without Zion Williamson, and now we're hearing that Bolden is hurt, only played 3 minutes against North Carolina the other night. Yeah. So now you even get this lineup, you know, even smaller with their depth. Cam Reddish and R.J. Barrett are just required to do too much. They shot 50 shots between them the other night of their 73. I think this team either loses their first game against a Syracuse-type matchup, the way it looks in the bracket, or certainly will lose their second game in this tournament.
Drew Maddux over at CPA, former Vanderbilt All-SAC guard. Thank you, Drew. Appreciate it, man. We'll talk with you later in the week.
All right, guys. Y'all have a great day.